the name of Jesus. Amen. Now when they, that is Mary and Joseph and Jesus, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Dear saints, good and evil are more than just ideas in this world. They are realities. And more often than not, they cannot be confused. God's word makes that plain. Good and evil are more than just two ideas. God's word makes it clear. What you have in this reading is a comparison of kings. A comparison of Jesus, king of the Jews, and Herod, king of the Jews. Jesus is good, and Herod is evil. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of grace and of peace, where you can find forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And Herod's kingdom is one of brutless brutality and mass murder, especially of infants and children. Dear saints, the murder of children is evil, whether in the womb or outside of the womb. Murder is evil. Life is good. Jesus is good. And anything that is opposed to the good is evil. And the hard reality that we face is that that is how we are born, opposed to God and His Word. That makes us evil when we are born. The hard reality is that we too often, more often than we wish that we, is that we are opposed to God's Word. And that makes us evil. Jesus is for life. Herod is for death. Jesus became a little baby and Herod murdered the little baby. Jesus loves the little children and wishes to come to them, and Herod murders the little children. Jesus is the one who from his throne desires to come to the little children, and Herod from his throne orders that the children be slain while he still stands on his throne. You see, when God became a baby, he said something about babies. He said something about you and your children and your children's children. He said that he loves them and that he wishes to come to them and to be their God. Good and evil are more than just ideas. And we live in a country and in a culture that seems to confuse them pretty easily. Now, I want to be clear on one thing, that good and evil sometimes are hard to see, because appearances can be deceiving. Good sometimes seems to be losing miserably, and evil seems to be winning triumphantly. Now, look at this. Your Jesus, he is the good one, and he, more often than you wish, seems to be absolutely helpless. As a little baby, as a full-grown man, as a criminal hanging on a cross, what he looks like, more often than we wish, is absolutely helpless. The only reason that Jesus was not murdered by Herod and his soldiers is because an angel appeared to protect him. The only reason that Jesus, who is God, who could murder all or could save himself all with just a snap of the finger or a breath of the word. The only reason that he was not murdered is because his parents protected him and listened to God through the angels. That says something about parents these days and those days and always. It says something about angels' protection that they have for you as well. Jesus seems powerless. Does he seem like that in your life sometimes? Does he seem like that to you more often than you wish? He is not. He is not powerless. That is his promise. He is reigning. Jesus is your king, and he will win. But on the other hand, evil can seem quite powerful. Rulers in our world who are evil, or people in our lives who just seem to act on evil things, they can seem overwhelmingly powerful. Sickness and disability and poverty and cruelty, they can seem absolutely powerful, but they are not. Your Jesus is more powerful than they. All evil in this world, every sickness, every bit of loneliness, it will all be destroyed. Every tear will be wiped away. Every knee will bow at the name of Jesus, whether that is in humble submission or in humble thanksgiving for that which he has done for you. That is a promise. And it is a promise that needs to be rubbed into our ears. It needs to be rubbed into our ears very, very often, because it is something that is opposed to that which we see in this world too often. It is opposed to sight. Now, to be sure, there are times when it isn't opposed to sight. I think you have this in your life, but if you look on history too, it's really fascinating. Jesus was born seemingly helpless. He was a king who was born seemingly helpless, and yet he still reigns right now. Name for me one empire that existed during the time of Jesus that has not turned to dust. And you can't. They've all faded away. But Jesus' kingdom, it is here with you. It is here with your family. It is present among you and in this world. It is still reigning, and it is powerful. And I think you can see this in your life sometimes. Sometimes when evil and suffering, sickness, disability, death, when those things are reigning, you think, these are more powerful than my Jesus. But then in hindsight, when the suffering has ended, you can see that your Jesus was reigning all along. If your suffering has not ended, though, or if you never saw that your Jesus was reigning in that situation, the promise is true nevertheless. Your Jesus is king. He is the good one. He loves you more than anything else. He suffered. You suffer. But you do not do it alone. He is king. His crown is a crown of thorns. For it is there that he is reigning, not for himself, like so many leaders do. They reign for themselves. He is reigning there not for himself, but for you. He is there destroying not his sin because he had none, but he is there destroying your sin. He is there destroying not his death because he had already conquered it. He is there destroying your death. He is there destroying Satan. He has victory over him. And the Satan, your evil one, wishes you not only a guilty conscience, but he also wishes you evil in body. And that includes the murder of infants in this country, in this society. He is your substitute. He died to not only make you his child, but to make up for all of the times that you do not act like his child. That is your certainty. And the final point of this text I want you to look at this text and I want you to see how Mary is called. Mary is not called Mary. Mary is not called the wife of Joseph or the daughter in such and such. Mary is known purely in how she relates to Jesus. Joseph is told, take the child and his mother. Now, Mary keeps her identity. She is still Mary. She is still the daughter of such and such, the friend of such and such, the cousin of Elizabeth. But her most important identity, the identity that matters the most when she sins, when she is suffering, when death is at her door, is that identity in which God sees her most clearly. She is viewed in relationship to her son whom she bore and who would die for her and make her his and make her holy. And the same is true for you. When you were baptized, you did not lose your identity. You are still daughter of such and such. You are still son of such and such, wife of this, husband of that. But you gained an identity. You gained the identity of one in relationship to Jesus. And it is the most important identity that you have in this life. You are his brother. You are his sister. You are a daughter of the Father in heaven. You are a son of God because the Son of God is your brother. That is your identity. That is why you can pray. That is why, because your Jesus is here for you, your God is King. That is his promise. He is for you. He will gain the victory. Good and evil are more than just ideas in this life. And when you have evil, your confidence is that the good one is pleased with you. That the good one is for you. He is not against you. That the good one calls you good because of that which his son did for you. And that is your peace. Amen.